praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight. And I know there's a few folks missing. Brother Bobby was telling me that Jamie Lee had to go back to the hospital. He's a lot of pain in his back and things from the accident. So we want to keep praying for Jamie Lee that the Lord will give him a full, complete recovery. And, you know, I was just telling Bobby in the hall coming in, I remember one night crashing with a fella I wasn't driving, and we shouldn't have been driving that night. And this fella's friend told him that he took the corner at I don't know what speed in a motorbike, whatever speed it was lies. He couldn't have done it. But he threw the car into it at 100 mile an hour. And I just remember him calling my name. And when I come round, the car was upside down, totally rolled off. And the doors and everything jammed. I had to break the windows and everything to get out. And come out the car, and I'm standing on the road, and the presence of God come over him. I wasn't even serving the Lord. It's totally away from God. And the voice spoke to me. And the voice said, if my hand wasn't upon you, you'd be dead. And that same night before, my mum had the dream that I was dead. My dad and her said, we can't accept that. We'll have to pray. And I had a yellow jumper on. And she'd seen me in the yellow jumper covered in blood, and I was dead. And I had the yellow jumper on the night I crashed that car. But God spared me. And God has spared Jamie Lee as well. Could have been worse. And even that other man, whoever he was. And we don't know the times, but God so many times saves us. Even when we don't know anything about it, God saves us so many times. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. And I know not everybody's here tonight, but on the 17th of December, which will be a few days early, but we're doing a birthday for my mum here in the hall. She's going to be 80 years young. She doesn't know anything about this, but I'm telling everybody tonight. But everyone's invited. The whole church is invited. Everyone's invited. 17th of December. Is that right? 13th. You've wrote the 17th. Her birthday's on the 17th. Right. That's the thing about sticking to the notes, you see. When you don't stick to the notes, you're in trouble. It's my mum's birthday on the 17th. But we're going to do a wee something in the hall. Gary told me coming in, he did it wrong, he was right. It was on the 13th of December, Saturday. We're going to do a wee thing in the hall here. Just come along and bring someone. A few sandwiches, whatever. Everyone's welcome along, 6:30. Everyone will be welcome along, come along. And for my mum's 80th birthday, and on the 17th, that would have been Rock's birthday as well. On the 17th. But you know, I have his old car, and every time I get into it, I think about him. And just reminds me of him. So many fond memories. And at work, nearly every day we talk about Rock. Different people at work, and it's so surprising the people that Rock talked to that you would never know about, and still people mention it and talk about it. And there's a big fella works for me now, and he worked with Rock. I don't know if it was England or Scotland when Rock was started driving on the bulldozers. This fella worked with him back then. So these are special times, remembering and everything, and we just want to thank the Lord. And I want to thank the Lord for my mum, because us fellas are here because of my mum. And you know, we talk about sometimes my dad was hard on us, but you know, the other side of it is, if my dad hadn't have been, I don't know how my ma would have worked for us all. And I don't know how she had all us boys. They're talking about Hannah and Nathan was talking to me about the weights of babies and stuff. Well, that's £10.12. Our Matthew was £10.10. I don't think there was any of them under £9. And my mum's a wee small woman. So I tell you, I don't know how it works out, but the Lord bless you, Mum. and we're going to do something of a birthday bash. So let's praise the Lord. I want to share the night again. Maybe we could read a few scriptures from Leviticus. The Lord bless you. I was talking to Brian briefly. When I said talking to Brian, just a few messages back and forth. I wasn't physically talking to him, just on the thing. And he says he's keeping really well. This is the best he's been in a long time. So we thank the Lord for that. Praise God. I want to read just a few verses from Leviticus chapter 8 tonight. And I want to continue on from the thought from this morning. And it's hard to... There's so much stuff in this. There's so many avenues. And you'll maybe think tonight, well, they never said this or that, or you could say this and that. Look, you could take so many things from these scriptures and preach it. There's that much in it. And I tell Mark, I went in the day just to go over the notes I really had got. And then I ended up going down another avenue. There's so many other things. But it's all to lift up the Lord. All to lift up the Lord. And you know, I'll tell you this. It's coming away from home tonight, and there's people live near us, supposedly Christians, but you hardly ever see them going to church. And I said to my wife this evening, how many people is ready for the coming of the Lord? That really is ready for the Lord's coming. But they're concerned. That they want to be in fellowship, gather often. There's not many. I don't believe there's many. There's a lot of people get saved and they just sit back. But you know what come to us is coming along the road tonight? We're in a race. And if you're going to win a race, you never can win a race sitting in the armchair halfway around her. Because even if you're leading and you sit down during that race, you'll be defeated. A race, and especially a long race, cross country is a long race, a marathon. A marathon's not going at the start and a marathon's not going at the finish. A marathon's one where the man or the woman that goes steady. Steady as you go. And they pace themselves. And they try and keep that pace. And now you know it's not works, but our works proves our faith. And the Bible talks about us running a race, doesn't it? And we need to go steady as we go. Amen. And I want to encourage you to keep going steady as you go. Let's read from Leviticus chapter 8. Let's read from verse 1, just a few verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments, and the anointing oil, and the bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket, and an unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. Here's for the special garments, go on. And he put upon him the coat, and girded him with a girdle, and clothed him with a robe, and put the ephod upon him, and girded him with a curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim, and he put the mitre upon his head, also upon the mitre, and even upon his forefront did he put the golden plate and the holy crown, as the Lord commanded Moses. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. And he sprinkled thereof upon the altar 7 times and anointed the altar, and all his vessels, both the laver and his foot, to sanctify them. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. And Moses brought Aaron's sons and put coats upon them and girded them with girdles and put bonnets upon them as the Lord commanded Moses. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Let's just bow our heads again tonight. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord. We remember you in prayer this evening. Praise God. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you this evening for the word of God. For thy word is a lamp under our feet and a light under our path. Thy word giveth us light. The entrance of thy word giveth us light. We thank you that you are the light of the world. And we thank you for the day in our lives when you lit us up, when you came in and come in to stay. Lord, I pray tonight that you'll just help us to run the race set before us. Forgive us for shortcomings and failures. Help us to be the men and women of God that you want us to be. Father, I ask you again for Jamie Lee tonight, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that your hand of mercy and grace and your touch will be upon him. You've already spurred him. I'm going to thank you for it. Bless him and his wife and children. And oh God, just have your way in his life, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we pray again for my Auntie Eiling, for my sister, for husband and husband-in-law, that you'll move in every one of them in Jesus' precious name. And also upon our father-in-law, you'll move in him in the name of Jesus Christ, that every one of them will be saved and that your name will be glorified. Lord, cover us now with your blood. Fill us with your spirit. Meet the needs of everyone in this house, for the hands raised, meet every need. For those tonight that's been weighed, laid, or backslidden, pray, Lord, you'll have mercy and grace upon them and bring them back to your own self, for you've said you will have a people. Help us to be that people in the name of Jesus Christ. Break now to us your word, the bread of life, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Maybe as I mention this, Martha can put that wee photo up and we'll talk about it. Just a few things. I'm not going really fully into all of that photograph. Just some thoughts. Aaron Sons, we know, represents the position and the privilege of all those who belong to Jesus Christ. And we know that I put down here Aaron as a type of Christ. So when I talk about Aaron tonight, I'm talking about Aaron as a type of Christ. And we have to let the Holy Spirit take over in us, and when we preach and everything, and to show us the Word of God, and to bring out these things from the Word of God. We can have notes and all them things, but we need the Lord's help to take the truths of the Bible and bring them out to us. And it's all about the Lord, and we're God's peoples. And I just want to go through it tonight. And I've got the plow on again tonight, just two sides on her. She's a big one. And they're just thoughts that I want to mention tonight. And the first one is, their names were closely associated, their names. 10 times we read Aaron and his sons. Their names are closely associated. And we're closely associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to also think of his people. And just as Aaron and his sons, that you read about it 10 times, Aaron and his sons, Aaron was called and his sons were called in him. And Jesus Christ was called and chosen, and we're called in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and we're chosen in him. Now there's depths in it, chosen in him before the very foundation of the world. Ephesians 1 verse 4 tells us, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So not only has the Lord chosen us, but the Lord has chosen us before the foundation of the world. So when you write down a date in the book, on this certain day I choose the Lord, ever before you put the date in your book, and there's nothing wrong with that, there's a day when you do accept the Lord and you could write it down, nothing wrong with it. But ever before that, or you knew anything about that, God already chose you. He ordained you, he ordained me. He knew ever before the world began that we would be saved, that we would serve him. He knew everything about us. And we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And we weren't just chosen and stop and stay there. The Bible says we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy, I'm without blame before him in love. Called to be holy, to be holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1 verse 16. Be holy, for I am holy. That's what the Lord says. Our sons were priests by birth. And we only can be a true priest by the new birth. Just as Aaron's sons were sons because they were born from his seed. And we are from the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We are born of an incorruptible seed. That's the seed of God. We are born again of the Spirit of the Lord. And we're not sons of God tonight because we joined anything. We're born as sons of God, born again. And these sons of Aaron were born. Sons of Aaron. Born. They have an identity to Aaron. And we have an identity to Jesus Christ tonight. Priests because they were sons. Now are we the sons of God. Blood relatives to the great priest. Ephesians 5:30. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We're blood relatives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received a transfusion at Calvary. A blood transfusion at Calvary. And remember, just as certain blood types, they're put in the bank and they're kept, and they can save a person's life, but they have to match. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago matched every single person. And everyone can be redeemed tonight. Here's another thing. They had the same calling. The same calling. Called to be priests. John 20:21. As the Father sent me, so send I you. So as Jesus was sent to the Father, Jesus himself sends us with the same sending as the Father sent him. It's nothing different. It's the same. It's the exact same. He hath made us priests unto God, and we are abiding in our high and holy calling, or are we doing it? Are we abiding in it? Are we doing it? What the Lord wants us to do, Revelation 1:6. And have made us kings and priests unto God, his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here's another thing. They had the same underclothing. Now, when I got onto this underclothing, I got stuck on it. Now, I don't mean stuck on it in a bad way, that you're stuck on something you don't know what you're talking about. There's so much information in the Bible on this underclothing that it probably will have to come back sometime and take a whole message right on it. Then when I started to look at it more, this underclothing, this fine linen, and it talks about specifically this fine linen. Let me not jump the gun. I'm going to share a couple of things with you briefly. And you can go right back to Abraham with this. And what you'll have to do, and all the old preachers knew about it. Some of the modern ones know nothing about it. I'll just be honest with you. But the old preachers all knew about it. And they took Abraham's journey and the reckon where he went right up. And everything about it. And all about this linen and everything. And the journey. And I haven't time tonight to go into all that. So I'm just giving you briefly some thoughts. Aaron had robes of glory and beauty, which belonged to himself only as high priest. His sons, like himself, had a pure linen coat. So there is a priest that wears all of these garments that you see in this picture. Are you following me now? There is a specific priest that wears all of these garments in this picture. But then there is priests that only wear that white linen. They cannot wear all of these other garments that's in this picture. But they all wear the white fine linen, and they must be washed and bathed even before it's put on them, because it's against their skin. And there's a whole message in all them things. And the white linen always speaks of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we know that the linen comes from the earth. And Jesus Christ lowered himself right down. Right down. And he actually went in the ground. And he rose again on the third day. And then you have the blue. And I don't want to go into all this because I want to stick with my point at hand.
But you have the first man, which is earthly of the earth, and the second man's the Lord from heaven. That's your blue and all these colors. Every one of them, I've preached on them many times. But let me just read you a few scriptures, because I want to get this thought of this linen. Exodus 39, verse 27. And they made coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and for his sons. Exodus 28, verse 4. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat. Now I want you to look at that word, broidered. And 99 times out of 10, people think that's embroidered, and it's not. It's broidered. And when you go back into the Greek and the Hebrew, it doesn't actually mean the same thing as embroidered. How many of you women know when I'm talking in that language? Now, in England, they say in England that they have a piece of linen that was broidered, fine linen, broidered, not embroidered. There's partly there's a difference. And it is so finely made, and it dates back to the times of Moses. And they say that it's so finely made, embroidered, or finely done, that they can't even do it today on modern machines. It's so finely done, the work, that it's done with a linen. And I tell you, there's something in that tonight about that linen that is so finely done and is so fine of a work. And I want to tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness super exceeded any other righteousness. It's so fine, and it's life and everything so spotless and so pure. And that's what it speaks to us about. And just as Aaron had it, his sons have to have this. They had to have this as well. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ was holy, we don't get a different holiness from his. We get his. I'm going to show you that in a moment. For we have none of our own. But now I wanted to go more into this broidered. I hadn't time to do it, because I've been going away from the subject at hand. But maybe again, and if you want to look it up a bit yourself, and take that word and you look it up, and I'll tell you, it's real interesting. And then you have to go to Abraham, and you take Abraham's journey where he came right up till and everything. But Exodus 28:15, and thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work, after the work of the ephod that thou make, gold and blue and purple and scarlet, and the fine twined linen. And all it speaks of this fine twined linen, Exodus 28:5-6, and they take the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen with the cunning work. Leviticus 16:4, and he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, says the coat and the breeches, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. Their holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And I tell you, there is garments tonight that we receive from the Lord, but the world cannot receive these garments. They have to be cleaned and washed first. These garments are not put on anybody, but only the sons of Aaron could wear these. They were chosen of the Lord to wear them. And we, whether we know it or not, are chosen, ordained of the Lord. And we are washed in the pure blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we receive his righteousness. There are glories which belong to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son, which cannot belong to anyone else like him. And we may all have or ought to have the linen coat of the inward purity, but there's a righteousness that the Lord has that supersedes all others. But look at Revelations 19 and 8. Revelations 19 and verse 8. And to her was granted that he should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Not wonderful. So here we have in the Old Testament, Aaron's sons putting on this linen. And here we have in the New Testament, God is showing us it's the righteousness of the saints. The believers have the imputed righteousness of Christ. That's where it comes from. Romans 4 verse 6. Even also, as David also described it, the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And the word impute means freely given, freely imparted. So the Lord freely imparted to us his righteousness. Verse 24, Romans 4. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe in him that has raised up Jesus Christ our Lord from the dead. And when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, this righteousness can be imputed to us. Isn't that wonderful? The imputation of the righteousness of God. Imputed to the believer. How? By faith. Here's another thing about them. They had the same anointing. Same anointing I mentioned it this morning. They were accepted by the same blood and anointed with the same oil. Christ has entered in with his own blood. So are we. Hebrews 9 verse 12. We can come because of it. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This priest can do something that no other priest can do. I mentioned it this morning. For all these earthly priests had to offer for themselves, then for the people. But the Lord Jesus Christ entered into heaven with his own blood. A fellow said to me one time as I went preaching, he said, there's no more blood. We've moved on, we don't need it. I said, well, I'm sorry, you'll never be able to go to heaven then. He says, what do you mean? I says, you can't go. And he says to me, flesh and blood can't enter heaven. Did you never read that? I says, I did. But I says, did you never read that Jesus Christ's blood entered heaven? And I says, you see the reason no other flesh and blood can enter because it's corrupted. But I says, you're working with someone here that's incorruptible. It's undefined. And it's separate from sinners. And I believe tonight that the blood of Jesus Christ, that Jesus plundered hell, like Reinhard Bonnke said, that he might populate heaven. And his blood reached the whole way to heaven. And we're going to go to heaven because of his blood. There's nothing else that'll make a way for us. Only his blood. Because without it, we're sinners. We're unclean. But because of the washing of the blood, we're clean. And we have his imputation of righteousness. The same spirit that come upon him has anointed us. 1 John 2 verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it have taught you, ye shall abide in him. The oil was first poured upon Aaron's beard, we read that, before it was given unto his sons. And the Spirit was given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I've mentioned it this morning. Without measure. And he gives me and you that same Spirit today. And whoever asked him, that he might give the Spirit to them that ask him. Amen. Acts 2:39. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This was a true of him also, the anointing oil was not put, it wasn't put upon strangers. Why did you get this? People talk about the word and anointing the same as a believer. That's pure nonsense. I used to think that, but God corrected me. I'll tell you that now. It's not scriptural. That's why. You see, somebody can have a nice saying, but when you run it back into the blueprint, does it match it? Because if it doesn't match it, it's wrong. I don't care who said it or how well it sounds, but the world can't receive it. Can't receive it. I told you there's only one way to receive it, and you have to be washed first in the blood of Jesus Christ to receive it. And if you're not washed first and made clean, you'll never receive it. But this anointing oil, it's not for the strangers. The world can't receive the Holy Spirit, only those born again into the family of God. Take these scriptures down. John 14, verse 17. For even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. because it saith him that neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, things can come in the world and people can copy what Christians do. We know all that, but they still don't have the real thing. It's counterfeit. And somebody says they have the real thing. If they're the real thing, they're saved then. If they have the real thing. If somebody's the real Holy Spirit, sure, they're saved. And the real Holy Spirit will make them live for the Lord. If there's someone else that's acting or playing, and they're not living for the Lord, then you know it's not the Holy Spirit, it's an act. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. Now here's it again. Here's another scripture. Just in case you think John's the only one where it says this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. So the world has a spirit. But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. We have not received the spirit of the world. There is a spirit that the world has tonight, but the Holy Spirit is what we want tonight. Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Here's another thing. Excuse me, they had their hands filled with the same offer, and I talked briefly about it this morning. We have nothing else to offer God on behalf other than Christ. What can we offer God? Our Aaron offered but the wave sheaf. He offered it. Aaron offered it. And when I refer to Aaron, I'm referring also to the Lord Jesus Christ. Aaron's a type. Here's another thing. They eat the same food. They eat the same food. They fed on the same holy bread. Jesus lived by faith, so must we. Amen. His soul rested and was strengthened by the promise of the Father. This also is our high privilege. Live as he lived. He left us an example that we're to follow his footsteps. Men talk about following other men, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the best example to follow. He is the supreme man. He's the one we want to follow. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunder were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us, and the things he did for us to leave us an example that we're to follow his steps. So when anything's happening, we're to follow the Lord. Amen. You know, I know I've maybe said this before, but I'm going to share it with you again. And I won't hold you too long tonight. I could do, but I won't. I've lots of hay in the fork. But not many more than an hour. See, somebody's just come around now. I'm just joking. But you know, I remember praying for a man, and it was in California, and he was possessed with demons. And they spoke out of him, cursed out of him, they did all sorts of stuff out of him. And eventually when God delivered him, and he fell like a dead man. And it was as if I could hear somebody reading to me the Bible. I don't know where it was, but I could hear it. There was nobody in the room, but yet in me, or I can't explain it to you. But I could hear it. Where Jesus, when he cast the devils out, they rent him sore. How many knows that scripture? They rent him sore and came out, and the person fell down as they were dead. And he took them by the hand and raised them up. And that's just exactly what I did. I took the man by the hand and raised him up. And God delivered that man. And that's one of the greatest deliverances of demons I've ever seen. With that man, it was in California. And I tell you, there was a man, Brother Yule, that used to pastor a church and everything, but he got involved with the wrong woman, a witch. And I don't know what she got him involved in and what he got involved in, but there was demons and everything. And people say, was he truly born again and all them things? I can't answer none of that. All I can tell you is what happened. And all I can tell you is God changed him. Changed him and he delivered him. And we come back that way 7 weeks later. There was a young man come in the meeting. He wasn't that young, but the man came in the meeting and threw his arms around me and hugged me and thanked me for praying for him.
And I says, I have no idea who you are. And he says to me, I'm the man that you cast the demons out of. And I didn't even know it because he looked so different. His countenance even was changed so much. And I tell you, God's real. God's real. And the exact same thing in Africa when the woman, she was an old woman and she's full of demons and they spoke out of her too. And they said, you'll not cast us out for we're here a long time since she was a young woman. And we're not coming out. And I says, well, I've got bad news for you. You're leaving the night. And they tell me then, they started to tell me where they were from. And they were from a place down the road which was known for witchcraft in their language, Shona language. And it's a hard language. You try and learn it. I can tell you it's a really hard language to learn. And they give a whole big conversation out. And they could talk all different languages. And I said to them, go down and tell them, we're coming down past there when you get back down to it. For I'm sending us back here tonight. And they were cast out through the name of Jesus Christ. And that woman fell down like she's dead. And the same thing, I took her by the hand, raised her up. Same words as Jesus said. And she stood up and prayed that God would fill her with the Holy Ghost. Now I know I've told this before, but I'm going to tell you one thing. You think of the miracle of it. That woman went back home and the brothers from the church went to visit her. And when they went to visit her up on the mound, they called it up in the mountains. And a lot of people came, and it's in Mashingo. A lot of people came to hear what them brothers had to say, and because they knew that woman and they saw the change on her. Isn't it an amazing thing that people today claim that they're born again and saved, but you don't see a change? And there's an old doll in Africa, and she must be, I don't know what age, with a snuff pouch and all her stuff, she's taking drugs, whatever they have over there. And God delivers her, and she throws a whole lot over the head. And God saves her. And the people come to the house, and the church started because of that woman's testimony. Our God's able. That's why I told you this morning, and there's other people that wish to have been here, but let me, I'm going to say it again. Jesus Christ, more power in his wee finger than every demon and devil put together. And that's why he says, it cast out the devil with the finger of God. It's no trouble to them. And don't you ever think when you're praying, maybe this is too big for me to ask God. There's nothing you can ask them that's too big. Nothing. He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all what you ever asked or think. Now here's another thing I'm going to finish shortly. They were under the same authority. They were under the same authority. They were to keep the charge of the Lord. Joshua 22 verse 3 tells us that. They were under the same authority. Jesus kept the charge given him. I must be about my Father's business. Luke 2:49. He went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed to the devil, for the Lord was with him. He went about doing good. Isn't that great? I tell you, there's a lot of people today going about and they're not doing good. They're doing whatever badness they can. But Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed to the devil. And they brought the lunatic to him and he cured them. And they brought the deaf to him and he opened their ears. And they brought the blind to him and he gave them back their eyesight. And he did all types of miracles. And he says, miracles of day and cures of mar to cast out the devil with the finger of God. That's the Lord Jesus we're talking about. I tell you, John 17 and 4, it's finished. It's not what he said. And we're seeking to keep the charge of the Lord. Are we glorifying him here on earth and we're serving him? Are we finished? Are circling about? You know, as we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. As thou sent me into the world, even so I send them into the world. John 20, verse 21, I'm almost finished. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you as my Father sent me, even so I send you. And I tell you, the Father sent us. Just as he sent the Lord Jesus, he sent us. And I'm closing. We must be about the Father's business. That's why we had to keep on keeping on. So saying I have for years, keep on keeping on.
You had to keep on keeping on. You would be surprised, people's come to me over the years, you're wasting your time. But what are they classes wasting your time? I'm serving the Lord. I'm keeping on keeping on. I am doing what I believe God's called me to do. Now, I don't know how many's going to come. That's not up to me how many comes. Do you know that? It's not up to you either. It's up to me and you to serve the Lord. We cannot make out how many will come and how many won't come. That's the Lord's work. But I'll tell you this here. Jesus says, none have I lost that thou hast given me, not a one. So we must keep on going, steady as you go. I think it was John used to say, keep low, go slow, and the power will show. Amen. And it's true. You don't blow all the steam through the whistle. The train will not go nowhere. You'll waste all the steam. But you need to get her out of the station. Amen. And I tell you, there's a lot of people start off quick. And they're going to just take over the world, but they don't last long. But there's something to be said for people that steady with the Lord. Enoch was steady with the Lord. Enoch didn't serve the Lord in wee bits and pieces here and there. Enoch walked with God. Every day he walked with God. He talked with the Lord. And the Lord decided one day, Enoch, I'll tell you what, you've had enough down there. Come on up. And he just took him home. And Enoch was not, for the Lord took him. And there's going to be a group of people in this earth. And whether it's in our lifetime or not, but there will be a group of people, and they're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The Lord's going to come and take them. And brothers and sisters, it could be in our lifetime. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The trumpet of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming for his people. And he's not coming down on the earth here. We're meeting him in the air. The second coming's on the earth. It's coming on the earth. But that, you can call it the second coming you want. But this, it's not the second coming, for we come when? King and queen, that's on the Mount of Olives. This is a rapture we're talking about. This is the thing that's going to happen, and the world will keep on going on. This is the thing that's going to happen, and Israel will make a pact, and the Antichrist will make a pact, and the tribulation will come in. But God's people's going on. Our priest is coming for us. And he wants us to be ready. Let's stand our feet tonight. The Bible says he cometh in an hour that you think not. Be ye also ready. He cometh in an hour you think not. He's given us, he's prepared us, brothers and sisters, with this fine linen of his righteousness. We've washed in his blood. And he's given this righteousness from Romans 4, the imputation, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When the devil hits one of us tomorrow and tells us we're not good enough, we'll turn around and say, you're right. But he was good enough. And I'm in him, and he's in me. Hallelujah. He's a persecutor of the brethren, you know. That's what Revelation said. He's a persecutor of the brethren. Now that doesn't just mean the brethren assembly. The brethren means all true believers in Christ. He's a persecutor. He'll cast in your face. You're not this and you're not that. And you'll say, well, maybe I'm not everything I would want to be. But he's more than everything he ought to be. He's enough for me tonight. Is he enough for you tonight? Is the Lord Jesus enough for you tonight? Isn't he lovely? Thank you, Lord Jesus, tonight. Words would fail us. But we could say with the one that penned that you're the lily of the valley. You're the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. You're the bright, the morning star. You're the first, the last, the living one, the Alpha and the Omega. I am him that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Lord, and you're coming again for your people. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll help us to keep on keeping on. Give us a spirit of stickability. Fill us with a fresh, with the Holy Spirit. Lord, just as you received the anointing, give us the same anointing. Let the oil of God, of gladness, come on us. As a brother sang the other week, the oil of gladness. May it come afresh upon your people. Bring a season of gladness amongst your people, upon your people. Bring a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Encourage those tonight that need encouraging. Restore a new strength in each one tonight. Lord, you know all of our needs this evening, all of our desires, and all we would hope to do and want to do. We commit it all before you tonight. We acknowledge you in all our ways and pray you'll direct our paths. Lord, just direct us, guide us, every brother and sister in this room. Those of us with unsaved loved ones, wife or a son or a daughter or a husband or a relative. Lord, we'll ask you for them this evening and you'll save them. Pray that you'll move upon them. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless each one. And Thursday night we'll be back, the Lord willing. We cancelled last Thursday because the roads were treacherous. But hopefully maybe this Thursday it'll not be as bad. We'll see. Plenty here. But the Lord bless you. And then we'll be back next Sunday morning. And bring a testimony next Sunday morning if you have a testimony or a wee song. And some of you sisters, I know you can sing. If you want to sing a song, and I may not come and sing. Sing on to the Lord. You're not doing it for the pastor or one of the brothers here. You're doing it on to the Lord, or a brother could sing. And just come along and share if you want to share a wee verse of scripture or anything. And just take a few moments. Tell maybe how the Lord's blessed you or done something for you. Sunday coming, and I'll bring a wee short message then. And the Lord bless you. God bless you. Go ahead, brother.
Just before we close, we'll maybe try and sing that little chorus. He is all I need. He is all I need. Jesus is all I need.
This evening. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this evening that we are able to meet here and then through your precious name.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for the word we've heard tonight. We thank you for the great high priest, Lord Jesus Christ, which is you, Lord Jesus. And you never turn anybody away, Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm turning a prayer away, Lord, for the whosoever believeth in you should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, you know your people. You know our needs, you know our thoughts, you know our hearts, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, to serve you more and more every day, Lord Jesus. Provide every need no matter what it be. For those of us that are discouraged, Lord, encourage it now, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, Jesus.
Lord, the Satan is only a liar. He's going about like a roaring lion, saying whom he may depart. But your word says that you are come to give life. And life more abundantly, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are claiming that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ over our loved ones, over our families, and over our friends now. We pray for those that don't know you yet as their own and personal Savior. We pray that your Holy Spirit would strive with them, show them their need of salvation, and save them in these days of grace, we pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, encourage your people now, we pray. Bless our pastors. Encourage him, Lord, for the word that he has brought, Lord.
Yes.
Strengthen him. Provide us every need. And for everyone here, provide every need, no matter what it be. Lord, we ask all these things in and through your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it.
Amen. 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 Lord bless each one. We'll see you, Lord, wrong on Thursday. Can we try and sing that little chorus, maybe just a closer walk with thee? Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord.